Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelsang, and this is episode number 273. As part of our author, Art of Living series, we're joined today by two respected writers, Myra Sclareux and Patricia Garfinkel. Now, if the name Sclareux is familiar to you, you're paying attention. One of our guests today, Myra Sclareux, is the mother-in-law of recent guest, also an author and a favorite of the Not Old Better Show audience from her work, along with co-author Rachel Cooper, on the wonderful book series, 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles, the Washington, D.C. edition. So this is the very first daughter-in-law, mother-in-law program. Also, as you and the Not Old Better Show audience know, I love talking about books, talking to authors, and from your emails and contact with me, you all love it too. So today's show is special for reasons other than family, though. Today's show features a unique book that author Renee Sclareux generously shared with me. The book, of course, co-written by Renee's mother-in-law, Myra Sclareux, and Patricia Garfinkel, is titled Invitation to a Country Called Aging. The book, again, Invitation to a Country Called Aging, is special, emotional, and powerful. Much of that assessment, of course, and obviously, is due and based on the two authors, Myra Sclareux and Patricia Garfinkel. Patricia Garfinkel is a former Capitol Hill speechwriter. Patricia Garfinkel worked at the National Science Foundation, and she also served as the co-artistic creator, having drawn the book's illustrations with Blake Douglas Young. Equally talented co-author Myra Sclareux also has a science background, studying biology at Tufts University and worked at Yale University Medical School. Myra Sclareux satisfied her left brain, right brain functions by then founding the MFA program at American University, where she taught for many years. Both Patricia Garfinkel and Myra Sclareux are actively creating, writing, and helping other artists with poetry, creative writing, and artistic pursuits about human resilience. The form and structure of An Invitation to a Country Called Aging, which has received high literary praise, reminds me of poetry. We don't often have poetry here on this show, but I love it, and poets like Billy Collins are among my favorites. While some of you may ask, is poetry relevant? I would say yes. And while this show isn't truly poetry, the book is more than relevant and important, as you'll hear from both Myra Sclareux and Patricia Garfinkel. Both Patricia Garfinkel and Myra Sclareux will offer a reading from the book, An Invitation to a Country Called Aging. But please join me in welcoming to the Not Old Better Show via internet phone authors Patricia Garfinkel and Myra Sclareux. Patricia Garfinkel and Myra Sclareux, authors of the wonderful book, Invitation to a Country Called Aging. Thanks so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
Our pleasure.
It is such a pleasure to talk to you. You shared the book with me. I read it. I loved it. And I want to talk about it because I just think this book is excellent for my audience. This is a beautiful, poetic memoir on aging is how it's described. And so I wonder if you both could just give me the most important thing that you've learned about aging that's included in the book.
Patricia, why don't you start?
Okay. I think when you're young, you always judge aging as something that happens to somebody else. You know people who are old, other people who are getting old, and you never try to envision what that might be like if it comes to you, no matter how it comes. You can't imagine not being alive. And I find that very strange, but I feel that way.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just add a couple of things. One is, despite there being a new set of issues to deal with in the aging process, whether to close up shop so you don't leave a big mess behind you or when you're gone, or play it hard until the last moment, and dealing with all kinds of medical issues, it seems essential to continue to explore new avenues and to move toward what compels us, toward people who enrich our lives. And to laugh. I think we learned a lot about laughing. And also the translation of the biology of the body into language. I somehow, even though we're poets and we do a lot of writing, and Patricia worked for National Science Foundation and wrote speeches, there's something about translating the body at this stage of life into some kind of language. It was a great relief to do that. I can't quite interpret or explain that, but it's part of the process.
As I read the book, it was just so insightful. It made me laugh. I thought about these various stages of my own life as I've been aging, and I've thought about others in my life who are doing so. And it stopped me at many points, and I kind of welled up. I cried, certainly. And aging doesn't have to be a negative thing, but I wonder, did either of you cry in writing any of the collections of your observations about this process?
Yeah, I think that endings always have the sense of wanting to cry. Whatever is ending, even if it's been a terrible thing, you have tears. When it's been a wonderful thing, you have tears. The idea of disappearing from the planet is a different kind of ending. We can't describe it very well, but we know it's forever.
Thank you for that. That's well said. Hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the book has received high praise, and I just would encourage my audience to read this, to pick it up. We'll put links as to where you can find the book, certainly. And much of the praise must have energized you and given you both a nice big lift. But I wonder, as writers, as you were writing the book, did it energize you to share some of these experiences, or did it just exhaust you, or both?
Myra?
Well, I would say I never felt exhausted. I felt the impulse to continue is alive, and also to encourage others to tell their stories. So no, not at all, not that. In fact, the impulse to continue goes on. I was talking to Patricia yesterday about, you know, starting another one, and we just did it. We don't know quite how we started this, but she would write something and then send it, and I would write something, and then we'd write in response to each other, and it just became a lovely conversation, really, and different than anything either of us have ever done. So it's not at all exhausting. No, it was replenishing.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Myra, and the one thing I would like to add is you discover by doing something like this a new vision of what life means.
Yes.
And, you know, when you're growing up, even when you're married and have children and everything, it's a very daily experience, and you're not in depth in anything, really, unless you're writing a poem. But there is something that pushes you with this task that says it's waiting to be examined.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I guess on that note then, Patricia Garfinkel, and we are with Patricia Garfinkel and Myra Scleru, authors of the book, the wonderful book, Invitation to a Country Called Aging. And on this kind of this path of discovery, because I think the book is for all ages. What would you tell younger audiences to pay attention to from the book? How would you go about explaining to them this notion of discovery?
I would say to them that although it seems very, very distant to you as a young person, the ultimate is the plan for everybody, not how it's going to happen, but it is going to happen. And it might happen at any age. I mean, you could be on a luxury ship off to another country and the ship blows up. I mean, this was going to be the experience that you saved all your money and dreams about. And then you realize you're in the process of dying because the ship is going down.
Well, the other thing is when you get to this point, you feel very grateful to be here. I mean, it's quite amazing. I was quite sick as a child. There was no penicillin in my day, and I was allergic to sulfa drugs, and I spent a lot of time in hospitals and in bed and in the woods because I couldn't go back to school, but I was allowed to roam around outside. Whoever envisioned to live to your 80s, I mean, that seemed amazing to me.
Yeah.
I think the real message, though, to young people is to think about their own lives and what seems important to them, what how they would characterize the place that they are in.
And what they really want in life so that they can pinpoint a lot better how to pursue that. I think many of us just live from day to day. And it was either fun or it was a drag or it was this or that. But it pays to examine your life at any age.
Good advice. I'm going to ask you to read from the book in just a moment or two, but I want to start with a question kind of on the polar, just on the opposite of that. Did you leave anything out of the book?
Everything.
What don't we?
Oh, my goodness. The impulse to keep going, to embrace new relationships, to tackle whole new courses of study. I still look at jobs. I think there are all these interesting jobs. I think, should I start get a job? My older sister's 87, and she works full-time doing driving for people with disabilities in the city of Phoenix.
Right.
Should I start a school? Should I publish the 11 manuscripts sitting on my desk, science to Greek novels, and or like my aunt who got a job recently, Walter LeCur died, who was 97, an amazing guy, who was head of the center, the Strategic and International Studies Center at Georgetown. And my mother's older sister applied for a job and lied about her age. She said she was 60 when she was about 77, and edited all the books for him, and had a great life. So the question is, you know, but particularly relationships, how you would, all kinds of things that we just couldn't, you know, really encompass in one small book with not too many pages.
I agree with that. And an example that in my own life was that I'm 80 now, so when I was about 75, I had always wanted to go to Antarctica. And that's a pretty cruel place. And you have to be really careful. And yet, I pushed for the opportunity to go. And when I was there, I thought, okay, if everything else ends now, it's all right.
Very nice. Very, very sweet. Well, just one final question then about the book. And Myra Skluru, I think this was really your sentiment in some communication with me. You wrote that your observations are about a time of life that feels decidedly different from all other stages of life. And as I'm in the throes of aging, as I've watched my wife in the throes of aging and my mother, who's going to be 90 soon, I understand this very much. But I wonder, what's been the reaction of younger readers to your book? And would they respond maybe differently to that sentiment? You know, I do agree, but aren't all stages different, even difficult? So what made you say that, Maya?
I think the difference, as I say this, I think that now there's something like 68 million people in the world who are refugees, either within country or out of the country, and so the idea of death being nearby for a lot of people in this world is doesn't depend on age, but other things being equal, I think that when you're in your 80s, at least for us, for me, everything I do is on a daily basis and not in a depressive way, is measured against how much time is left. I mean, should I do this? Should I start this? Should I enter on this program or this book I want to write or some way I want to be helpful in the world? Do I have enough life and time to do it? That I think is the difference. On the other hand, I think that each phase of life has a very special conditions, let's say, and it would be interesting for young people to think about parts of their lives that really seem that are memorable. And I when I was thinking about that, I suddenly went back to when I my first entry into kindergarten, my first experience at school, taken there by my sister, standing at the door of Howard Park Elementary School in Baltimore, thinking, what happened to me before this? And I turned back to look, and suddenly I opened that door and walked in, and the blessing of my life began, because I love school, I love teaching, I love studying, and so on. And if you said, what's the most important phase of memory in your life? I would say, you know, there's one. And for each young person, there are, you know, significant moments in their lives, difficult and positive, all kinds. Yeah.
Wonderful.
I agree with that. I love difficult family. My parents didn't like each other at all, and I'm being very kind when I say that. And I was caught between them. And I remember thinking, someday I'll be out. I'll be on my own. I'll be away. They can do this without me. And that gave me some confidence. And it's not that I didn't love either one of them. I did. But they were impossible together. And I was stuck in the middle. And with some help from some therapist when I was a teenager, I really gained a perspective that allowed me to say, okay, that happens, and then you go on. And I think that got me to go on.
That's a wonderful recollection as well. I do think these stories are so important and important that we share them with each other, with those younger in our lives, because I think it matters. It gives perspective. I think it also helps that we all learn from each other about persevering. And I just have so valued the book in that sense. It's just this beautiful collection of stories. Again, we are with Patricia Garfinkel and Myra Sclareau, authors of the book Invitation to a Country Called Aging. I really hope both of you, Patricia Garfinkel and Myra Sclareau, will have you back for, I ask you about, did you leave anything out of the book? Just selfishly, because I'm hoping there will be a volume.
We'll probably have a long list.
Good. And I'm hoping you'll come back and share that with us too. I'm going to ask you finally to both read a brief section. All the sections are wonderful, and the prose is nice and tight and meaningful. But I wonder if you'd each pick a brief section and read to us something that's perhaps your favorite.
Okay, I'm going to read something that frightened the dickens out of me. It's called "Caught in a Computer Scam." Very late one night, I was at my computer searching for some information. Suddenly, I was not alone. A voice came over the computer, and no matter how much I tried, I could not get rid of it. A woman from another country was holding my computer captive. She kept threatening me if I didn't come up with my credit card number, I have a great deal of information on my computer that, if compromised, would be great trouble to reproduce. She and I argued for a long time, and then I had an idea. I knew we could not go on this way forever. So finally, I gave in. By now, it was about 2 a.m. While I was still arguing with her, I pulled out my cell phone and quietly dialed the number on my card. I said my card had been captured and to immediately cancel the card. The person on the line took me seriously and did so. A day or two later, I got a blistering phone call from the woman who tried to rob me. She called me all kinds of names, but I just hung up on her. Listen, we are all vulnerable to some kind of scam in this day and age. And the aging are much more vulnerable and innocent about these schemes. We have to be especially protective, which is sad, but sensible.
Thank you for sharing that one. When I read that in the book, that same passage, I got scared for me. I got scared for my mom. I got the sense of your fear too. That is a powerful sentiment. Thank you, Patricia Garfinkel, for sharing that one specifically. Myra Scleroux, how about your favorite?
I'll tell a very brief one and then just a couple of lines from another one. This is called Falling Again. One of the problems of aging is falling, and one of the best things you can do about it is physical therapy, where you learn proprioception, where you learn where the body is in space, and it really makes a difference. So that's my recommendation. And you have to picture a chair and a little table, and underneath it there are cookies and cupcakes and candy. Recently, I learned of an elderly lady who has decided to put small bags of candy and cookies on the floors all around her house so that when she falls again, she'll have something to look forward to. And the last thing I'd like to say is, and when it comes time to say farewell and we hand our beginnings over to you, the reader, let us say that our greatest gift would be your own additions and observations about this remarkable and complex country called aging.
Let me echo that too, Myra Scleroux. Thank you for mentioning that specific passage. I just want to encourage all of my audience to get the book, absolutely, but to share some of your own stories, because I think these are wonderful times for us. They're hard, they're difficult times, they're scary. As Patricia Garfinkel points out, there are issues with our physicality, but I think together we're strong. You know, both of you, I get a chance to talk to a lot of writers. I enjoy that very much, and talking to you has just been a pleasure. What a wonderful book. And so nice to talk to the two of you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Again, I want to share this book widely with my audience and encourage them to read and to share their own stories. But thank you so much for your time, for reading, and again, for this wonderful book, Invitation to a Country Called Aging. Thanks, Patricia Garfinkel, and thank you, Myra Scleroux.
Thank you, Paul. It's a great pleasure to talk with you. Really, it's a great joy with you. You have a lovely spirit. And I love your mom's poems, by the way.
Well, thank you. So, yes, and thank you for mentioning that. And I will tell you that I have so much appreciation for those that write and for just beautiful written word. And the two of you certainly have accomplished that. So thank you again, both of you.
Thank you.
You are most welcome. Thank you from us.
My thanks again to authors Patricia Garfinkel and Myra Scleroux and their wonderful book, An Invitation to a Country Called Aging. You'll find links to where you can find out more information about their book and other details and information. Please join the conversation about aging, your experiences, and anecdotes by sending mail to Myra, Patricia, or me at info@notold-better.com. Thanks to all of you, my wonderful Not Old Better Show audience. Remember, Let's Talk About Better, the Not Old Better Show. Thanks, everybody.